Welcome to the Global Gaming Business Podcast, the industry's first and longest-running podcast, now in our 16th year. I'm Roger Gross, the publisher of GGB, and this week we feature an interview with Richard Schwartz, the CEO and co-founder of Rush Street Interactive, on the company's success and how it plans to continue to grow and to provide amazing experiences for its customers. This week's show is supported by Konami Gaming. Later in the program, we'll be discussing their world premiere of the Dimension Top Box, debuted this month during G2E. And you're nowhere on Broadway. They say the girls are something else on Broadway. Richard Schwartz co-founded Rush Street Interactive in 2012, before any online gaming was legal in the U.S. Initially, RSI focused on social gaming, but it quickly ramped up as online gaming was legalized in New Jersey the following year. When PASPA was repealed and sports betting was added to the menu, RSI spent time getting their app right, and today is one of the fastest-growing apps in the industry. RSI is cautiously approaching the legalization of mobile online gaming in New York, where it already operates the most successful retail sports book in the state. Schwartz spoke with me at G2E in Las Vegas earlier this month. Welcome to the Global Gaming Business Podcast. Our guest today is Richard Schwartz from Rush Street Interactive. Richard, thanks for joining us. It's been a while since we got together.
I know it has. It's always a pleasure talking to you.
Yeah, nice to see you. And you've been doing some real interesting stuff since the last time we talked. You had a very successful year. Tell us some of the milestones that your company hit.
Well, thank you. First of all, I mean, I guess the financial highlights have been that we went public in December.
Right.
And we've had every quarter since we've been live, we've been able to beat the market projections and raise our projections, which is always a good thing in the financial business world. We've been able to progress a lot of our efforts to kind of diversify our business. We've not only have grown casino, which is what we're known for, but we've also been growing our sportsbook business as well, really nicely, which is exciting. Secondly, I guess, market access. We announced 5 new deals in the last year. We're about to launch maybe the next, during football season, about 5 new markets. Mm-hmm. So we have a lot of expansion. I think our really focus on responsible gaming this year is something we're really proud of as well. We've put a lot of effort into that. And then the last thing I think I'd mention is just the product enhancement. We came out with a new app. It's working great.
Right.
And the features and enhancements we're making to the user experience is something that we're really excited about.
Okay, great, great. So there's been a few bumps in the road getting the two largest U.S. states online for sports betting. New York in particular seems to have had limited the number of participants in the market. I think it's 4. I mean, you might be able to correct me on that, which will limit the choice that New Yorkers have. And they've also excluded some of the heavyweights in the industry and even some of the tribes, from their own state. So what's your strategy there? What do you feel about that?
So we want to be a little cautious in this answering this question, and we respect the process that the state's running under. But I would say that, we have a lot of things going for us in that. We recently won the Connecticut Lottery RFP, which is adjacent to New York. There were 15 highly competitive competitors with us seeking that spot. So it was a great validation of the quality of our technology and our system and our service, our reputation as a company. I think that's going to help. We also have a partnership with a land-based casino in the state, which can be helpful for our omni-channel experience. We find when we have omni-channel online retail connections that we have in Illinois and Pennsylvania, we perform very well. We are the leader in the retail sportsbook commercial marketplace in New York as well. We're the first company to ever take a sports bet in the state of New York. So I think a lot of things are, we have a great group of partners we're really proud of, and we think we're really excited for the opportunity to see if we are selected.
Sure. And how is the retail sportsbook doing in New York?
It's doing great. It's really outperforming even the land-based market share of the casinos. So we really feel like we've hit a home run with the quality of the retail sportsbook business there. It's grown very large. It has a very significant market share in the state.
Okay, great. So California, is as usual, this is a mess. There's at least 2 competing sports betting referendums that will go on the ballot in 2022. So are you actively involved in any of those efforts at this point?
No, currently we're not. We have a very well-established government affairs team that's very involved in all aspects of lobbying around the country. At the current time, though, we're evaluating different strategies for that market. We haven't committed to any strategy that I think there's a lot of dynamic parts moving there, and it's important to kind of evaluate and assess each opportunity and be very careful and cautious of what we do before we commit to a strategy. So right now we're sort of neutral.
Okay, great. Michigan was a big success for you guys. I know that, and the fact that tribes are allowed there. I mean, that's what have you accomplished in Michigan?
It's great. We're number four in online gaming revenues there. Online casino has been a strength for us there, and really the strongest of anybody who doesn't have an existing database. We had to go in there with a brand new brand, no database, do it the hard way, which is from scratch. And we've been able to show that we've been growing market share pretty consistently in that market. And it's not just in that market, but even a market like West Virginia, casino market as well. We've gone from 0% to almost 10%.
Yeah.
So we're able to grow market share pretty successfully in a lot of markets that are important for us, like Michigan.
Sure. And they seem to have done it right in Michigan. I mean, they got the tax rate right. They got they got everybody into the pool together. You know, so
Wrigley's done a great job there. And the fact that legal is casino and sportsbook really generates the tax revenues. You know, in all the states like Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and Michigan, where you have online casino and online sportsbook both legalized, 75% or 80% of the revenues come from casino. So the state's benefiting from that.
Exactly.
I think they did do it right.
Sure. Let's talk about Pennsylvania for a second. I think the last time we talked, you said one of the reasons you got the sports betting license was because that's your entree to the online gaming license. So, I can't imagine how any sports book is making money with a high tax rate in Pennsylvania. I mean, is that accurate?
Well, we are actually making money in Pennsylvania.
But on sports. I mean, I know you're making money on iGaming.
No, but sports too has been positive for us. I think we've had some scale there. We have some decent market share there. But I would say that right now the industry in general is bonusing players at an unsustainable level.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We actually don't do that at the same degree as many of our competitors do, because we view it as very important that the players that do find us like us for the user experience we offer, the quality of the customer service, the unique product experiences that we offer. And we want players with us for the right reasons, because they respect the way we treat them.
Right.
If you just bonus players, that's short-term focus. You might buy market share for the short term, but then you end up losing it over the longer term.
I interviewed the head of the Canadian Gaming Association the other day, and we were talking about sports betting there, and he said that you guys are opening an office in Canada?
Yeah, we have already opened up an office development organization there. We believe very strongly in the talent pool in that region, and we've been growing a team very nicely there in Toronto.
Right, okay, great. So there's been a lot of big mergers in the iGaming business, just recently with Golden Nugget getting bought by DraftKings, and plenty of other deals that I could mention. But you seem to be in a really good position if you want to be acquired. I mean, is that part of your goal?
Well, our goal is just to build the best user experience you can for casino and sportsbook, and constantly improve it so it gets to the point where we offer something that is unique in the marketplace.
Right.
We're focused on building the business and to run it.
Yeah.
However, obviously there's rumors that are floated all the time in our industry right now. Our name is coming up quite often. And I think it really goes back to why we built the business, which is that we're focusing on things like market access we have.
Mm-hmm.
We have in-house platform technology, which is very important in this industry. We have a casino focus, which a lot of companies are now recognizing as important. So I think there's a lot of rumors because we're doing really well in a lot of these areas. But at the end of the day, this is a very early stage of this industry. We're large in the U.S. We have Canada growing, as you just mentioned.
Right.
We have Latin America, where we're really growing fast in that market. Uh-huh. We're very balanced there. We're having record quarters there. So it's exciting to hear that, but at the end of the day, we're just building this business to run it.
Yeah, okay, great. So you mentioned how competitive the market is right now with all the players and throwing money at customers and things of that nature. I mean, how long can this keep up? Is it sustainable?
No, it's not sustainable. Yeah. I mean, it's going to have to rationalize at some point. Investors, I think, won't let companies market and bonus at these levels forever.
Right.
And I think when that happens, though, we're going to shine even more, because we are doing things right now fundamentally the way they should be done long term.
Sure.
So when you go from bonusing your players 80%
and
you go down to maybe a more sustainable level, those players are going to notice that difference and may no longer play with that brand.
Right.
So for us, it's about earning the players' trust, because we're doing the right things, we're treating them well, and I don't think what you're seeing right now is sustainable. I don't know how long it will last, but at some point it will change.
Right.
One of the most surprising games out of G2E this year was a slot series called Cash Parade from Konami. It made its world debut at the show on the Dimension Top Box. Cash Parade is a five-reel game on the machine's lower 27-inch display, and a festive parade of lights blanketing the upper 49-inch portrait displays. So it merges a familiar spin-by-spin chase with fun top-screen bonuses animated across all connected machines. A real exciting expansion for the award-winning Dimension line. To learn more, visit KonamiGaming.com. Now back to our podcast.
I noticed that, you know, you've got some really interesting different spins on bets and things of that nature. How do you evaluate, you know, when one of your team members comes up with, well, let's make this bet? I mean, is it just, well, let's give it a shot and see how it works, or do you actually do the math?
Well, we like to think we're both creative and we're data-driven, so that combination is left side, right side of the brain is what makes our company pretty unique. And, you know, we have a very culture here supports a lot of entrepreneurship, so if someone has a great idea, we like to encourage them to run with it. Having said that, if you're running in 10 different directions, you're going to have a hard time going straight and figuring out what your vision is. Right. So a lot of the responsibility that I have, I feel like, is to create a vision for the company and make sure that we're all aligned about what we want to achieve. And then along the way, you can assess opportunities. Does it help you get to that vision or not?
Right.
If it doesn't help you get there, it's taking you backwards, then you may not want to focus those resources, distract from everything else. I think what we see right now is a lot of our peers in the industry are doing so many things that it's hard to do anything really well if you're doing a million things. So I think it's about being creative, finding the right opportunities, doing the evaluation. We have a very good finance team that evaluates opportunities from an ROI standpoint. But a lot of this in our industry isn't ROI only. It's about your fashion industry. You got to create something that consumers may not know they even are missing.
So
to do that, you have to have a little bit of an extension beyond just an ROI and be able to think through what the psychology of a player is to help design features that they're going to like that maybe an ROI document may not, a finance, you know, a spreadsheet may not share with you that opportunity, but you have to kind of go with it because it's your gut.
Right. And I do like using your app. It's very, very, you can figure it out very easily. You know, it's not hard to figure out. And I was doing an interview with Art Mancuso a few weeks ago, and he said, you know, an app should be able to take a bet and pay a bet. That's the basics. And you're
we try. I appreciate that. Yeah. I mean, we do the little things that players notice. A lot of investors, for example, aren't actually playing the products.
Right.
So it's really when you get into those products, you start to see it's all the little things you do that make that user experience better. It's about reducing friction. Simplicity when you register, making sure the payment methods work in a very fluid way, in a seamless way.
Right.
And of course, getting the players to the content they want to bet on in an easy way. So we work really hard at that. I appreciate you saying that because it means a lot to us.
Sure. So sports betting has really gotten Americans familiar with betting on mobile devices. So, you know, and last time we talked, you told me how much you had players transitioning from the sports book to the casino. So they're obviously getting used to that as well. So do you think this is going to spur further growth of legalized iGaming in the other states that already have sports betting?
We do think so. I can tell you I get more calls from our peers in our industry all talking about how we're going to legalize online casino markets like Illinois and other markets around the country. And I think even a market like Indiana, a year ago, you were going to have a small number of casinos that were supportive of it. Now everyone supports it.
Right.
So you have that kind of land-based casino support, which didn't exist in the past, pushing in a positive way. You have the state governments realizing the revenue base would be much larger for casino, which I just mentioned earlier.
Right.
You've seen Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and Michigan. And then you have even the online companies that maybe didn't have a land-based history are also recognizing the value of the sportsbook companies that primarily sportsbook brands are saying, well, we realize now the value of casino too, and it's meaningful. So we have all the forces in the right direction. I think what probably slowed things down in the last year is really just a COVID experience and some of the revenues the states received from COVID, which is, of course, is something that's going to have to, may not be a long-term thing. So I think the need for additional tax base is growing again in the future, and I think we're going to see some positive momentum.
Okay, great. You know, the first time we met, it had to be over 10 years ago now, at an online gaming conference, and you know, you had just started RSI. It's way before iGaming was legalized, way before sports betting was legalized. I think you were focusing on social gaming at that point, and nobody knew where this was going to go. So, but, you know, looking where it is today, I mean, the fact that you built it into one of the major operators in the United States, how does that feel for you?
Well, it's a great team that we have. It comes down to the quality of the team, the dedication, the commitment, the loyalty. We had a vision. We did a lot of right decisions. You know, I think Neil and Greg, my co-founders, had a great vision to appreciate. Most land-based executives weren't looking 10 years ago into online gaming and realize the value. So they committed early, which was very, really valuable. And then we were able to build our own technology. You know, we looked at 30 different platforms, picked one that made sense for us, and we started building it for years. And you can't just shortcut a product like this. You can't just show up one day and have all the features. These are features built up over a decade of experience and really knowing how to build the right features. So I think it feels really refreshing that we were able to do something that people didn't think was possible. We were able to build a platform that was really strong, world-class in our view in terms of the capabilities. And it feels great to be recognized more and more because we were sort of this under the radar company for a long time. And I think the results keep bringing a lot of attention to us, and it feels really, we're really excited by it and really proud of it. But I couldn't have done this without the full support of my co-founders, as well as this development organization and operations team, are just tremendously talented folks, and we're having fun along the process.
Sure,
that's
yeah.
what's important. It's
yeah,
not
course, right.
get rid of politics internally. Get rid of distractions. Don't be having five people going different directions.
Right.
Let's put a goal together and let's all achieve it together and have success. And I think that's what we've done. And it feels great to be able to have the results that we're seeing.
Yeah, great, great. So what are your some of the goals for next year coming up?
Our goal is to really improve our apps. You know, we have a great sportsbook app now. We're adding casino to it now. Mm-hmm. So we don't actually have a casino iOS app in Michigan, mm-hmm. Pennsylvania, or West Virginia. And the fact that we're growing market share without an iOS app is mind-boggling, because mm-hmm. that's the most important platform.
Right, sure.
So we can't wait to get that product to market. We have a lot of innovation.
Right.
For the sportsbook side, we were 3 years late building that product because casinos legalized first. We have three years of investment on the casino side.
Yeah.
And we're continuing to innovate on that. We're excited for some multiplayer tournaments that we've come out with, things like that, to kind of keep ahead of what we think the competition is. But on sportsbook, we now put together a program that is really high quality, but we haven't apply the innovation layer yet.
Mm-hmm.
And we're this year working on that. So we're hoping to really differentiate the user experience on the sportsbook side in a way that we don't see a lot of products doing.
Right. You know, I played on a lot of sites in New Jersey when I was there this summer, and you know, they were all pretty similar. You know, I mean, even when you get in on the casino side, I'm talking about, you know, same kind of games. Your site looked like it was starting to change. I mean, is that true?
It is true.
Yeah.
So we have a philosophy which is, all companies have the same games primarily.
Right.
So that you're not going to differentiate if we all have the same games.
Right.
So what we did is we built our own layer of content, our own gamification layer, which mm-hmm. is hard to do. You have to have your own platform like
right,
we
sure.
do, and you have to have team members like we do that understand how to manufacture fun, how to create content.
Right.
And so we built our own layer of bonusing engines and fun mechanics, whether it's wheel spins or slot tournaments or bingo games. And we have a community chat room, and we have a lot of features that create a community and experience that's unique. So we know the players with our site, when they get engaged with us like we know they do, they're having fun and they're having things they can win at our site that just don't exist anywhere else.
Yeah.
And if you can do that for a player, it gives them a reason to come back to you more and more.
Sure.
So that's what we try to do. And I think we've really differentiated the product in a way that I don't think many companies have been able to do.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. How important is it for you to have your own technology? I see a lot of companies, Bally's is buying up tech. Penn National Gaming for sure. And you guys started, that was part of your philosophy right from the start.
It's a really popular subject right now that I think I got asked about more
in
the last week or two than I have any other subject. And my answer has been pretty consistent, which is that owning everything isn't necessary.
Right.
Some companies are going down that path and want to own everything. Mm-hmm. Our philosophy is own what you need, but to differentiate is important. So a lot of companies try to differentiate by owning something that's unique.
Right.
But if it's just average quality, it doesn't matter if you own it. It doesn't matter if it's exclusive.
Right.
The players are going to tell you, we don't like this experience.
Yeah, right.
So our view is that leverage world-class products on the casino side. No one's saying go out and buy Scientific Games so you can own your own casino games. Mm-hmm. You're leveraging that content, but how do you build a layer of innovation on top of it?
Right.
And so I think right now there's a lot of pressure on sportsbooks to go buy sportsbooks, but I'm not sure that's the right decision. I think I won't be surprised in 5 years from now you see a shift all the way back to using third-party solutions.
Right. Right.
So I think for us, we use a third-party solution now, but we build our own features and functions on top of it, so we differentiate from the user experience. And I think what's really important to own, though, is your player account management system. Because mm-hmm. that's where you integrate with third-party solutions, tools, payments. It's where you build loyalty. It's where you build real-time bonusing, where you do all your KYC, your responsible gaming.
Right.
It's the heart of an operation. And if you want to really convert players and retain players, owning your own PAM is really a key to that. And I think it's underappreciated in this industry.
Sure.
One thing that we invested a lot in from the very beginning.
Yeah, no question about that. Well, Richard, congratulations on the success you've had with RSI, and hopefully it will continue. And I don't want you to leave, so don't sell to anybody, okay? We wanted to continue to talk to you for at least a few more years. So
absolutely.
So thanks for the time, and good luck, and we'll catch up again pretty soon.
Absolutely. Thanks, Roger. Always great talking to you.
Great.
Hope you enjoyed this week's GGB podcast with special thanks to Konami Gaming. Reach out to your Konami rep to learn more about the latest slot series coming soon, or visit them online at KonamiGaming.com. To learn more about the booming online gaming market in the U.S., visit GGBMagazine.com. For all the breaking news of the gaming industry delivered to your desktop every Monday morning, sign up for free at GGBNews.com by using the coupon code GGB180. Don't miss any GGB podcast. Subscribe on iTunes or Spotify today. So we'll see you next time on the GGB podcast.